than myself. My cootie's humming so hard my entire body feels as if it's vibrating and I'm hurting with need. My pants get caught up around my knees and he jerks at them for a moment, frustrated. Then he grabs the fabric and hauls my legs forward, pressing them against my chest. My ass sticks out into the snow and I'm bare from my waist to my knees. And trapped. I suck in a breath and wait. Rahash stares down at me, at the pink part of my flesh that I imagine is slick with moisture and feels as if it's throbbing with aching need. He looks up at me, his glowing blue eyes slitted, and I can't tell what he's thinking. Then I feel him touch me. His fingers trace over my sensitive folds, exploring me. I nearly weep with how intense it feels. Breath shudders from my throat and I make a low, keening sound. I want more than just that exploratory touch. I want, no, crave the feel of his mouth on me. I don't want your mouth on me, I grit out, even as I tug my legs forward so he can get a better look at what I'm presenting. Not at all. Rahash ignores the lies I'm spewing and studies me for a long moment. I watch his nostrils flare and he runs his finger up and down my folds again. I cry out and buck against him, and when he pulls his big hand back, it's gleaming with my juices. He studies his wet thumb and fingers and then brings them to his mouth for a taste. Oh, goddamn, that was dirty. You were so dirty, I tell him, hotter and more turned on than ever. He licks his fingers with an almost reverent expression on his face, as if the taste of me is better than the finest chocolate. And that just makes me quiver with lust, seeing his delicious, big, bumpy tongue scraping over those fingers, licking them clean. It's driving me crazy just watching him lick his hand. It should be me he's licking. Wait, no, it shouldn't. I totally don't want any of this, I spit out at him, furious with myself and him for my body's fierce need. I don't want you. I don't want your mouth on my pussy licking me until I come. The very thought makes me shudder with how intense the visual image is. And because I don't want it so bad, I reach between my legs and spread my pussy lips for him to see. I watch as his eyes flare with need, and then his head pushes between my legs. I feel his big hands bracing my thighs, separating them, and I feel the jagged, homemade seams on my pants give under the stress of my spreading legs. Don't care. Rahash pushes my thighs apart and gazes down at my spread, slick pussy. I feel scorching hot, aching, and swollen. I'm about to touch myself when he bats my hand aside and then drags his tongue over my flesh. A scream bursts from my lips. Oh my God. I grab his horn and the stem of the other one and push his face against my heated skin. I'm wild with urgency and when his tongue, God bless that bumpy, bumpy tongue, swipes over my skin, I scream again. I drag my hips up and down even as he grunts and licks at me with his mouth, his own desire as intense as my own. His tongue is moving everywhere, licking and pushing against my softest parts, and I feel it flicking over my clit with every lapping taste. Then he nuzzles my clit. He nuzzles it. And I come so hard I'm seeing stars. My cries echo in the snow and I'm grinding my sex against his face, working every last bit of my orgasm out from under him. He doesn't seem to mind the fact that I'm using his horns like a steering wheel, driving his mouth this way and that, demanding more from him. He's all too eager to comply and lick me into oblivion. I keep coming with every flick of that tongue over my sensitive parts, until I feel a second orgasm ripping through me and I'm practically writhing on the ground, my juices covering his face. When I come down, I collapse in the snow, wheezing. My cootie rattles a bit and then settles into a softer thrum, temporarily content. Rahash's cootie is grumbling so hard it sounds like a motor, though, and when he licks me again, I push his face away because I'm too sensitive right now for another round. Not yet, I whimper. I can't. He looks up at me, his face feral, eyes glowing with an unholy light. His hard, sexy mouth is wet with the taste of me, and as I watch, he bares his fangs and gives me a look that makes my nipples perk all over again. mine. He growls and buries his face between my legs again. He begins to lick me again and I squeal. I lie back, ready to be all his, like he just said, and... Wait a fucking moment. Was that English? I sit up on my elbows and stare down at the alien licking me out. What did you just say?
Part 3. Rahosh. A small hand jerks on my horn before I can bury my face between her legs again and drink the sweet nectar that flows from my mate's body. What did you say? She repeats again. The look on her face is utterly furious. I narrow my eyes at her and try to dip my head again, but she twines her fingers in my hair and jerks instead, and I snarl at her. I want nothing more than to taste her again, to lick her for hours and hours until she's trembling beneath me. Then I will slide my cock into her warm waiting well, and we will be together as mates. As it should be. But the hand in my hair is insistent, and she snaps her knees together, trying to push me out. You spoke fucking English! I did, I say, and force her knees apart again. I want more of her thick, sweet honey. I want to lose myself between her legs for hours. The men of my tribe say that there is no taste like that of a resonance mate on the tongue, and they are right. I never knew what they referred to until now. Now I want to taste nothing but her for the rest of my days. Her cunt can be my sustenance. All else is unworthy of notice. I dip my head again, determined to lick her. She likes it when I lick her. Was she not pushing her slick wet petals against my face moments ago? Demanding more? I will give her more. My cock aches as hard as the stone in my spear tip. I long to bury myself inside her, but I want more of her on my tongue first. She gives an angry screech and slams a small fist into my eye. Then she cries out in pain and shakes her hand. Damn you! Why is your head so hard? That gets my attention. My mate is hurt. I sit up and take her small hand in mine, only to have her try to hit me again. Stop touching me! She bellows in my ear. I am so stinking pissed at you! You speak English! I do. I catch the hand that rises to strike me before she can connect with my forehead again. It's not that her hits hurt. It's that she's going to damage her soft little human hands. My brow is plated and her tiny fists are weak. You lied to me! That makes me angry. She thinks I willfully deceived her? For what purpose? How did I do such a thing? You never told me! You never asked, I counter, my irritation rising. You simply talk and talk and assume I don't understand you. You never bothered to ask me if I could. Her pink face flushes, and I watch as she pants, her breath puffing in the cold air. You are a dick. I do not know what this word means. Oh, really? Her voice is a sneer. Here, I thought you were the expert on the human language. There are words you speak that have no match with what I have learned. Funny, I thought dick was the language of your people. I frown down at her. I do not know this word, dick. I am Sakui. That is my people. Her eyes roll and she pushes at my chest again. It's called sarcasm. I do not know this word, sarcasm. Never mind, she bellows, clearly furious with me. God! She's mad at me? I saved her. If she'd have fallen into the water, they'd have torn the flesh from her bones in an instant. The thought of her suffering, dying, fills me with an incoherent rage. I straighten and stare down at her, naked legs still sprawled in the snow. She's scowling up at me, which makes it easier to resist her beauty. You shouldn't have run from the cave. Running? I wasn't running! She can lie to herself, but not to me. I step forward and grab the front of her tunic, then haul her to her feet. She slaps at me, but I right her anyhow, and then she tugs on the hem of her tunic, a fierce frown on her face. I lean in close to her. Her scent is in my nose, making my cui resonate with hunger. I want nothing more than to press my mouth to hers and mate with it again. But not while she is looking at me as if I am filth. My heart hardens a little, and I lean in. You belong to me, female. She smacks a hand to my shoulder, angry. I don't belong to anyone! There is no place you can run that I will not find you and return you to me. She doesn't realize that every day she ignores the call of her cui, it will grow worse. There is no reasoning with it or changing its mind. It simply wants what it wants. And it wants Liz to be my mate. I want that too. She's mine, and I'm going to claim her yet.
God, you are such a stalker, she mutters, crossing her arms over her chest. And if you must know, I was looking for materials for a bow.
A bow, I repeat. This word is known, but the thing it calls to mind is not familiar to me. It is a weapon, yes?
Yes, she says, and gives me a challenging look. Her chin lifts. I know how to shoot a bow. I can hunt, too.
I grunt. Part of me is pleased that she wants to hunt, and part of me worries. The women in our tribe are so few that they do not participate in the hunting treks. They stay close to the caves because we have lost many in our tribe over the last few years, and if we lose more, we cease to exist. But I see the determination on Liz's face, and know she will not like that answer. So, a grunt is what she gets.
What is that supposed to mean?
She gets right in my face and tries to reach for one of my horns, no doubt to tug me down to her height and get my attention. My Liz is brave. I have respect for that, even if it's infuriating. I stand at my full height so she can't pull any more of my hair or tug on my horns. You belong to me. If you need something, you come to me. My job is to provide for you.
Well, great, she says in a testy voice. How about you provide my friends to me,
I ignore that. I'm not taking her back until we are mated. Instead, I head over to the face-eater I killed for her. If she wants it for her bow, she'll have it. Come, you need to go back to the cave. Your human flesh is still weak despite your kui. Gee, you didn't think it was so weak when you grabbed me and ripped my pants off? I turn to give her a quelling look. Was she trying to pretend that she didn't like it when I touched her? Her cheeks are bright pink, which is curious. I study her for a moment more, and she squirms under my hard gaze. You did not seem to mind my touch. Her face turns even redder. Oh, just throw that back in my face, why don't you? Her words make no sense to me, but the color in her cheeks tells me plenty. She is embarrassed. I find it charming, even more so when her hands move to cup the tiny tuft of hair between her legs and shield it from my gaze. Does she think that protects her? I licked every inch of her mere moments ago. I study her bare thighs, her feet still covered in my boots. My own feet are barely aware of the cold, but I see her soft human skin is prickling with the cool temperatures. I must ensure that she is warm and taken care of. But Liz is a fighter, and she's choosing to fight me. So I grab the dead face-eater and the long tube they use as a lure and sling it over one of my shoulders. Are you coming, or do I carry you? I ask her. She scowls darkly at me. With a jerk, she scoops up the torn halves of her pants and storms ahead of me.
You are such a dick. I hate you.
Do you ever stop talking? I ask. She raises her middle finger in the air in my direction. I'm not sure what it means, but I can guess it's not pleasant. I guess I'm walking back pantsless. Thanks a lot. Do you want my loincloth? Her face turns that bright red again, and she gives me a scandalized look.
So you can be naked? No thanks.
Her refusal just further emphasizes how unattractive she finds me. It stings. Whatever will silence you, I jab back. She makes an outraged noise and then storms ahead of me. Liz is silent as we make our way back to my secret cave. I let her walk in front of me so I can guard her, and so I can watch her small, pert bottom as it flexes when she walks. She has no tail, so the view is a curious one, but still arousing. I mentally picture bending her over, spreading her bottom, and then licking all of her wet female parts again until she screams her pleasure once more. By the time we get back to the cave, my cui is resonating and my cock aches fiercely. It strains against my loincloth, the ache almost unbearable. Is she not suffering too? Why does she not fight this? A resonance mate is always final. Liz heads into the cave without a backward glance at me. She's still angry. It rolls off her in waves. That's fine. Let her resist if she thinks it will make a difference. She is mine. She was claimed the moment her cui resonated for me. Nothing she does will change this. As if she can sense my turbulent, possessive thoughts, she grabs one of the furs and wraps it around her waist, then turns to me. I know what your goal is here. My brows draw together. My goal? I have no goal other than to claim her as my mate, so we can be one.
You're going to hide me away until I'm pregnant, right?
She sounds defeated, the look in her eyes miserable. And what if I am?
Once again, I'm being held hostage for my vagina, she sighs. What is it with you aliens? Can't a girl just make her own decisions for once? Is that so freaking hard?
The Kui has decided, I tell her.
She gives me a small shake of her head. It's always someone else's decision. When's it going to be mine? I watch her, frustrated. There is no decision to be made. The Kui has decided. And yet, I don't like the way her words make me feel. Or the defeat in her voice. Liz is a fighter. I don't want her to give up.
Liz. Things are uncomfortable in the cave when I come back. I ignore Rahash and concentrate on sewing my pants together again with a few scraps of leather that I use as thick ties. I knot my pants every few inches instead of using one long thread in the hopes that things hold together better, and I blush the entire time I work on them. Rahash putters around the front of the cave, getting water and melting it, gathering more dung chips for fire fuel, and then butchering the thing that we killed at the river. He saves the bamboo from me, and then takes the bits of the creature with him, mumbling something about bait for traps under his breath. I say nothing. I'm still pissed at him. Actually, pissed is not the word. I'm frustrated. Frustrated beyond belief. I know it's not his fault that our cooties decided to become friends, but can the guy throw me a bone and freaking help me out instead of acting like I'm the problem? Excuse me if I don't want to automatically jump in the sack and demand that he squirt me with his baby batter. My face grows hot as I remember our little throwdown in the snow. I think of him ripping my pants off, and my cootie starts vibrating, and I get wet between my legs again. This is so frustrating. I don't know which is worse, the endless horniness the cootie brings, or the fact that Rahash has let me yammer on and on without telling me that he understands English. I try to recall all the things I've said and draw a blank. Truth is, I ramble, and I don't remember what has come out of my mouth. Ugh. A few hours alone lets me fix my pants, and when I put them on, they're a lot tighter, but they still fit. The downtime away from Rahash also puts me in a better mood and gives me some perspective. Really? He's just as trapped as I am. And maybe it's the orgasms talking, but he did a lot of giving and very little taking in our, snow incident. Maybe I'm being too hard on him. He is right about one thing, though. I never bothered to ask him if he spoke English. I just assumed he was an ignorant alien, which makes me a jerk. I sigh. I'm not sure if I'm ready to apologize, but I do know I'm mentally exhausted from fighting with him all the time. It's getting me nowhere. My dad used to tell me I could catch more flies with honey than vinegar. Lately, all I've been doing is spewing vinegar. No wonder I'm not getting anywhere. And while Rahash and I still have opposite wants, he wants a wife and a baby carrier, and I want to be left alone, we can still act like adults. It'd be nice to have a friend again, I think wistfully. The girls I was captured on the ship with? Those were forced friendships. If we hadn't been stuck together, would we have ever spoken two words to each other? I miss home. I miss my friends. I miss my dad. Gone for 5 years now. When sunset approaches, I take stock of the cave, knowing Rahash will appear soon. I've tried to make things as presentable as possible. I've gotten extra water, braided my hair to keep it out of my face, repaired my clothing, stoked the fire, and started working on a cord for my bow. The bamboo we've gotten is different than what I expected, but it's hollow and has a bit of give to it, not unlike bone. I'm going to try wrapping it in leather at certain spots to reinforce it and hope for the best. He enters the cave shortly, two smaller creatures hanging from his hand. Tonight's dinner. Welcome back, I tell him. Rahash pauses and frowns at me, and I can see the wheels working in his mind. He's trying to figure out my angle. Like I have an angle other than trying to be a decent human being? I sigh. Look, we started off on the wrong foot, all right? You forced me to get the cootie, and I've been making you pay for it ever since. Can we call a truce for a bit? I'm tired. He grunts and kneels by the fire, stoking it. You're not a chatty sort, even on the best of days, are you? He glances over at me.
And you would talk to the walls if they would listen.
My smile grows tight. You're making this whole truce thing hard, dude. Fair warning. I expect another grunt from him. Instead, he nods.
That was not kind of me. I apologize.
I sit back, surprised that he caved. Well, okay then. I move toward the fire and sit across from him. You want help with dinner?
Dinner.
I gesture at the kills. Dressing those? Skinning? Making it food? He gives me another narrow-eyed look. Not an angry one, I think, but more along the lines of trying to figure me out.
It is my job to provide for my mate.
Ah. I think for a minute and then hug my knees to my chest. My bare feet wiggle near the fire. Can we save some of those skins for boots for me? He nods. Thank you, I say softly. I'm not going to run away, just so you know. There's nowhere for me to go. Again, he nods. I stare into the fire as he begins to skin his kills. I need to get him talking, if only so I can crack open the hard shell that seems to be around his mind. He's a hard man to figure out, this Rahash. So, tell me about this place. He looks up at me.
This is my cave.
No, not this place specifically, I say, gesturing at the cave. This planet, this entire world. I don't know anything about it other than that it's cold. Rahash grunts, and for a long moment I think he's going to ignore my questions. Then he pulls out a smaller knife than his skinning one and begins to cut the meat into smaller, bite-sized chunks.
This is the warm season. We say it is the bitter season, and the colder months the brutal season.
My eyes go wide. I sputter, but there's 3 feet of snow on the ground. How can this possibly be warm? His mouth curves slowly, and I see a devastating smile spread across his face. It makes the breath escape my lungs and turns his hard, blade-sharp features into something deadly sexy.
You will just have to get used to the snow.
Snow. Right. I ignore the throb of my girl parts in response to that smile. My cootie starts up, and I mock cough, thumping my chest to try and shut it up. So this is... summer? He cocks his head, mentally searching through words, I imagine, and then nods.
What you call winter is a time of very little light. The suns barely show their faces, and there is much darkness. It grows much colder, and game grows scarce. This is why it is so important to hunt so much during the warm months.
I nod, digesting this. Okay, if this is about as warm as it'll ever get, I'll live. I won't like it, but I'll live. And you're a hunter? He nods and offers me a bite of red, bloody meat. I take the bit from him and pop it into my mouth raw. A burst of flavor sweeps over my tongue and I moan. It's so good this way. His hands jerk against the kill, and as I watch, his breech cloth gets tight over his groin. Oops. It's tasty. Sorry.
Do not apologize.
He cuts into the meat viciously.
I am pleased that I can feed my mate.
Yeah, I can see that he's pleased. There's no hiding that fact. I eye the enormous length from under my lashes for a long moment. He hands me another tiny chunk, and I lean forward and take it into my mouth directly from his fingers without thinking. His glowing blue eyes flare, and my cootie starts up all over again. Stupid cootie, always fronting me out. Rahash watches me chew, and when he holds another piece of meat out to me, he pulls it away when I reach for it with my fingers. He wants me to eat from his hand again. I lean in and let my tongue graze his fingertips, just because it's cruelly fun to tease him. And it turns me on. Just a little. His bloody fingertips trace my lips before he pulls back again, and then he shifts on his haunches. His cock is a hard bar against his leg, bigger than any dude's junk has the right to be. So, what's that creature called? I ask him, rubbing a hand up and down my arms to stop the goosebumps from rising on my skin. I'm totally turned on right now, damn it. Raw meat and an asshole captor should not be making my girl parts of juice, but I can't seem to help myself. He glances down at the raw meat and cuts another piece for me.
We call it Two Teeth.
He pulls back the lips of the creature to show me two gigantic fangs. It's like a beaver, kinda. A vampire beaver, with a row of spikes along its back and fuzzy, fluffy feet. Okay, so it's nothing like a beaver, but my brain feels better associating it with earth animals. You're not eating,
I point out to him as he holds another bite out for me.
My mate comes first,
he says, and gives me another scorchingly intense look as he pops the meat into my mouth and then brushes my lips with his thumb.
I will eat when she is sated.
I squirm a little. This is the most bizarrely sexualized meal I've ever had. I shouldn't be enjoying myself half as much as I am. Tell me about your tribe, your family. The hungry, aroused look on his face vanishes, and I see his expression tense, becoming a mask of indifference.
I have no family.
None? But what about your parents?
Dead.
The look on his face is closed off. I see. No brothers or sisters? He shakes his head.
My mother only resonated the once from my father.
Ah. Rahash seems lost in thought, so I continue on. Do you have close friends in your tribe?
Vektal.
Getting this guy to open up is like prying teeth. I met him. What about the others? He eyes me.
Why do you wish to know?
Because I'm going to be living there soon? They're going to be my tribe too? Saying it aloud makes me a little heartsick. What if they don't like me? His thick, ridged brows draw down as if he doesn't quite grasp this.
You are my mate. There is no like or dislike. You will be part of the tribe.
Easy for you to say, I tell him. You grew up with them. You're the same species. I'm a weird outsider who won't stop talking, remember? He gazes at me for a long time, expression inscrutable. Then, after what feels like forever, he offers me another chunk of meat. I take it and he says,
There are two kits in our tribe currently. With Georgie, that will be three. And if the others resonate, that will be more.
I absorb this information. And women? How many women?
Without the humans, four, if you do not include the kits.
I blanch. That leaves a lot of unsatisfied men. Maybe it's a good thing that Rahash hid me away in this cave for a bit. I wonder if the other girls that didn't resonate are going to be fought over like scraps at dinner. How many men?
24 of us are left. 20 unmated.
Left? He nods, carving another piece of meat away.
Life here is difficult. We lost many of our tribe several years ago on a bad hunt. Four of our men were killed and one female before we could bring down the Tali.
He shakes his head.
It was a bad time.
Sounds dangerous.
It is why the women no longer hunt. It is not that they cannot. It is that we will not risk the life of the tribe by putting them in jeopardy.
I open my mouth to reply, and he immediately pops another bite of meat into it. This feels like a shushing tactic, so I chew quickly and then continue. But you have the human chicks now. That means that you're no longer one big sausage party. That'll bring the tribe up to, I count for a moment, 12 humans and 30 of you guys means there's 42 of us. Plenty of hunters.
Not many will wish to risk their mates on a hunt,
he said, offering me another piece of meat. I refused it, and he ate it instead, his expression thoughtful.
Many will no longer want to hunt at all.
Why not?
Hunts are very solitary by nature. We got out for long periods of time into the snows. We might be gone a full turn of the moons before returning home.
Like a month? He shrugs.
Most hunt alone. It is easier to cover more ground that way. We hunt smaller game in many different directions and cache the kills under the snow so we can recover it later, when the land is forbidding and all the good game has gone to hibernate to get out of the ice.
So hunters are alone a lot? It's probably not the worst thing in the world, given that you've only got four girls back at home, I muse. Is that what you do? He nods.
I am a hunter. I spend more time out in the wild than at the tribal caves.
Why?
Why what?
Why spend more time alone than back at home? His glowing blue gaze neatly pins me in place.
There is nothing for me there. At least in the wild, I can provide for my people. At home, I only see what others have that I do not. Sometimes it is difficult.
The look he shoots me is utterly possessive once more, and I know he's talking about mates. I swallow hard. So he voluntarily exiles himself for long periods of time so he's not around all the happy couples? My heart twinges with pity. No wonder Rahash is crappy being around people. Damn it. Don't make me feel sorry for you. He grunts and savagely cuts another bit of meat off the kill, then chews it, the expression on his face bitter.
I do not want your pity, woman.
Pity's all you're getting from me tonight, I quip. He bares his teeth in a snarl.
Your words are not amusing to me.
I wasn't trying to amuse you, I point out. Then I get to my feet irritated. I don't know what to do with you.
I want my mate, he grits out, still at the fire. That is how this works. The Kui has decided that you and I shall be mated. Nothing in that can be changed. You will be mine, and that is all there is.
Is that so? I turn back to him and put my hands on my hips. I want to go hunting. How do you like them apples? He cocks his head and I realize he's trying to analyze my words. It's a human saying, I snap. I want to hunt and provide for myself. And you know what? I'd like to decide for myself, too. When do I get to decide what I want, damn it? I fling my arms wide. Everyone around me thinks they know what I should be doing, but you know what I want? No, you don't, because no one asks me.
You want to hunt,
Rahash says in a flat voice. That'd be good, for starters.
Very well. I will take you hunting in the morning.
I blink at him in surprise. His mood seems dark, but he's going to let me join him hunting? Really? Just like that?
Provided.
He pauses and gives me another heated look. Oh, here we go, I mutter, then wave at him to continue. There is always a catch, isn't there? Lay it on me.
I will take you hunting, if you lay with me tonight as mates do.
If you think I'm going to bone you for the privilege of hunting,
not sex. Boning.
He looks at me curiously.
Not boning. Just touching. Holding each other.
My guilty little heart twitches again. He's lonely. God, I am such a dick. Poor Rahash, to get stuck with the most stubborn woman ever. I soften. I can handle that, I think. Rahash gives me a silent nod and then straightens.
We should clean the cave and prepare for the hunt tomorrow if we will be out.
Let's do it, I say, hiding my excitement. Truth is, I'm a little nervous and fluttery at the thought of sleeping in his arms tonight and letting him touch me. My mind goes back to the fierce pussy licking from earlier, and a pulse of need rocks through me. My cootie immediately starts purring so loud it sounds like a chainsaw. Damn it, cootie. Show some restraint, girl. We putter around the cave for the next few hours, and it's surprisingly companionable. Rahash makes me a pair of shoes with some scraped leather hides he's been saving for the past few days. I knew he'd treated them with a mash of innards and crap he'd used from the critters themselves, and the results were a tough leather with a bit of fur on the inside to keep my feet warm. They are little more than mittens for my feet with drawstrings at the ankles, but I'm pleased with them nevertheless. I work on my bow, and when I tell Rahash about the kind of material I need for the bowstring, he produces something from his traveling pack that's a lot like a thick twine. I string my bow and hope for the best, and then set about making arrows. I have to use bone for those, and the ribs and wing bones from something unnameable that looks like an ostrich with shorter legs, four of them, mind you, ends up being perfect. I now have arrows that are a little bit shorter than I am used to, but lightweight and deadly as needles at the tip after a good sharpening. I sharpen and fletch my arrows for what feels like hours, until the fire dies down and I'm nodding off with the knife in my hand. Rahash takes the arrow from my grip as I struggle to stay awake.
It is time to sleep,
he tells me. Oh, but I've only got four of them, I tell him with a soft protest. That's not a lot of hunting.
We have spears and knives as well. You can learn more ways to hunt,
he says, voice low and tender as he carefully puts my bow and arrows aside.
Come and undress for bed, my mate.
I should have protested that I wasn't his mate, but all that comes out is a yawn. I can sleep in my clothes.
Not if we are sleeping as mates,
he murmurs.
This is what you have promised me.
So I did. I'm too sleep-drowsy to protest, and I don't realize just how exhausted I am until he stands me up and my legs feel like jello. When Rahash leans me against him and begins to undo the laces at the neck of my tunic, I realize he's warm and oddly soft, despite the hard protective ridges along his arms, chest, and other parts of his body. My hand goes to his pectorals and I rub them under his vest. You're soft, I murmur. Touching him is like touching suede or doe hide. There's a fine layer of fur on his skin that I didn't notice until now, but it's soft and oh so warm, and I can't stop petting him. I actually don't mind the thought of sleeping naked against him if he feels like this. My cootie purrs in agreement, the little whore.
Arms up.
His voice is a soft rasp, and I sleepily raise both of them before I can stop to think. In the next moment, my tunic whisks over my head, and then I'm topless in front of him. My cootie's humming in my breast, and my nipples harden even as I yawn again.
Pants,
he says, and he's not grabbing at me or making me feel weird, so I obediently step out of them and hand over the clothing. I watch with sleepy eyes as he turns away and carefully folds my things, setting them nearby. Then, with his back to me, he begins to undress. That gets my attention. I watch his arms flex as he undoes the laces in the front of his chest and then removes his own tight-fitting tunic. Then he's down to his tall boots and his breechcloth. I'm totally creeping on him at this point, watching his ass flex as he undoes the ties on his breechcloth and it slides to the ground. He steps out of it, lifting one leg with casual grace, and I see the sway of his balls from between his legs. Then his ass flexes again, and his tail lashes, and I just stare. Why is a tail sexy to me? Why does the sight of it flicking over that taut ass do terrible, nasty things to my girl parts? He glances over his shoulder at me, and the look is so heated, I get all aroused and squirmy. I'm not sure if us being naked together is a good idea, but I also don't think I could stop even if I wanted to. And I kinda don't want to. He turns to face me again, and his cock juts forward from his body, long and obvious. He's completely erect, and I try not to stare at his different anatomy. I'm no virgin, but Rahash has a monstrously huge dick, and to top it off, it seems to have ridges along the top, the bumpy, rough-plated areas like his arms and chest have. That will either feel really awesome or really awful. I frown as I stare at the blunted horn a few inches above his cock. I remember it from last time, but the sight of it baffles me as much with the second viewing. What's that for? He steps forward and his hand caresses it in a way that makes me feel filthy with lust.
My spur.
He shrugs.
It is part of my body.
Yes, but does it have a purpose? I mean, other than to freak out Earth girls. Rahash takes my hand and moves me toward the nest of furs.
Do your men not have such things?
Yeah, that's a big no.
Do I frighten you? Is that why you turned me away?
He looks almost hopeful. Weird. I'm not scared of you. His expression blackens.
Then you turn me away for other reasons.
Reasons like, oh hey, it's not my choice. That's enough reason for me. I thump to the blankets and slide into them, scooting to the far edge of the nest. The blankets make a nice, snuggly bed, but they don't make a very large one. He doesn't get into bed next to me, and I hike the covers up to conceal my breasts, suddenly embarrassed. I'm the only one, because he squats next to the bed and studies me, and his cock sticks out like a third leg as he rubs his chin and muses. I try not to make eye contact with, his small head.
Is it because I am ugly?
He asks after a long moment.
Is that why you hate being mated to me?
He rubs the scars on the side of his face thoughtfully. I frown up at him. You're not ugly.
I am scarred. Surely you have noticed.
I snort. I'm not blind. It's a little obvious. His expression closes off and he gets to his feet. I've hurt his feelings. Damn it, the man's more prickly than even I am. I clasp his ankle to stop him, and he gazes down at me with those narrow, blade-sharp eyes that seem to hide all emotion. You misunderstand me, I say. I don't know why it matters to me that I don't hurt him, but it does.
I think it's obvious that you're scarred. You're missing a horn. But I didn't say it was unattractive. I lick my lips. I kind of like it. His eyes narrow again. My fingers slide over the soft suede of his ankle, caressing the hard tendons under his flesh. There's not an inch of him that is soft with fat. He's all lean and wild and... well, even if I didn't have a cootie, he would probably be my type. The only thing I don't like about this situation is the fact that I don't have choices. It's not you, it's me. Does that make sense? He squats again and his cock comes precariously near my hand. I try not to notice, try being the key word.
There is no choice when it comes to mating. The qui decides. It is what makes strong children.
Back where I am from, the woman decides. Okay, that might be a little broad since a lot of women don't get to decide, but I'm running with it. The man courts her and she lets him know if she appreciates his efforts. He flings his arms wide, gesturing at the cave.
Do I not court? Is this not all effort to show you how I can provide?
Kidnapping me from the others and then pretending like it's courting doesn't count. No, I snap. You know what? I give up on trying to be nice. You're determined to take everything I say the wrong way. Forget it. I lie back in bed and pull the covers up, then turn on my side so my back is to him. He lies down next to me. Of course he does. The man wouldn't know the word no if it bit him in the face. I ignore him anyhow, determined to go to sleep. He wants to lie down like a couple? That's fine. This can be his first experience with the wifely cold shoulder. Welcome to married life, Rahosh. I roll my eyes at nothing when he reaches for my arm and strokes it.
Did you change your mind?
Change my mind? I don't turn to look at him because if I do, he might get a fist in the face.
About hunting. Do you not want to go in the morning?
My jaw clenches. You are such a blackmailing jerk. He pauses. His hand strokes down my arm, eliciting a response that ticks me off almost as much as his next comment.
I do not understand these words. What is a jerk?
Your people. Next question? He grunts, and I can't tell if he's annoyed at my snide commentary.
Black. Male. What is this?
That's when you force me to do things I don't want in exchange for something that I do want. This time he makes a sound of disbelief. His long fingers trail up and down over my skin, and it prickles in response. My pulse beats hard between my legs, and I can feel myself getting wet just at that small touch.
You say you do not want it. The only thing that says you do not want this is your mouth.
It's allowed to have its say, too.
It says plenty,
he comments sourly. And see? Shit like that is why you don't get laid. I pull away from him. Quit touching me. He chuckles and leans in, his mouth brushing over my skin.
Ah, more of this mating ritual. I remember it from before.
And his hand covers my breast, squeezing my nipple. I sputter and flick his hand away even as my cootie starts a symphony with his. What are you doing? His hand returns to my breast, his big arm pinning my flailing ones. He caresses and cups my breast while holding me down and begins to nibble along my shoulder.
I am courting you, as you have shown me. You tell me not to touch you, which is human mating talk for me to pleasure you.
It is not. But then I remember holding his face down between my legs, grinding against him with my pussy. I don't want you to touch this. Well, damn. I have been sending this boy some mixed up signals, haven't I? Time to explain. Rahosh, I think we need to have a little talk. My words cut off in a surprised yelp when his fangs score my shoulder and my nerve endings go wild. That should not have felt as good as it did. That should not have made my entire body sing. But my cootie's gone mad with delight, and when he nibbles on my shoulder again and drags his tongue over my neck, I don't fight. And when his hand goes between my legs to cup my mound, I'm wet. I'm so wet. And I moan. Unable to resist.
You see,
he murmurs, his tongue brushing against my ear. Oh, it's ridged. I keep forgetting it's ridged, too, and the rasp of it against my flesh makes me wild.
I am learning how to court you, my Liz.
His fingers glide through my folds and then dip, seeking my slick heat. One caresses the opening to my core and I arch against him, wishing for more than just a finger. I feel the hard, impossible length of his cock against my back, and I want to be filled with it. No sex, I breathe out. Truth be told, if he rolled me onto my stomach and pushed into me from behind, I'd probably be just fine and dandy with it. But a girl's got to hold on to her standards.
I am still courting you, my mate,
he says in a low voice, his throat humming with the ferocity of the cootie resonating in his chest to match mine.
Allow me to lick and pleasure you for tonight, as we promised.
Well, that doesn't sound so bad. Oh, who am I kidding? I want his touch yesterday. I need his hands all over me. I need him to keep exploring my body and stop with soft touches and get down to some dirty, dirty business. Rosh, I moan, reaching back to touch him. My hand slides into the thick mane of his dark hair and I find a horn. I clutch at it, happy for the handlebars. He strums my body with his fingers, his chest purring hard against my own.
Your nectar fills your cunt for me,
he murmurs into my ear, and then he tenderly licks the shell.
Shall I sip it and taste of my mate?
That is so corny of you, I breathe, but damn, his corny lines are getting me all squirmy with need. His finger keeps circling my aching core, and I want nothing more than for him to push it deep and start fucking me with his big fingers instead of just teasing me.
Corny.
Just another saying, I tell him, and then make a weird mewing noise when he dips his finger inside me. Oh, God. Keep touching me like that.
Do you want my fingers?
He buries his face against my neck, and I feel the rasp of the hard ridges on his brow against my chin as he nuzzles my throat. My breasts ache for his touch, and I begin to play with my nipples, rocking my hips against his finger that feels just barely inside me.
Or do you want me to lick the nipple between your legs until you scream my name?
A horrified giggle escapes my throat. Did you just say nipple? Between my legs? That gets his attention. He sits up and frowns down at me.
Is that not what it is?
No. Nipples are on breasts. His hand leaves my pussy and slides to my breast, and I moan when his wet fingers begin to trace a circle around one areola.
These are nipples, yes.
I nod, unable to speak. His touch feels too good.
Humans are so soft,
he comments, flicking his big thumb over my taut nipple and then rolling it between his fingers, fascinated by the hard nub of it.
We are not built like this.
No? I shift until I'm on my back instead of my side, and I'm gazing up at him. I reach up and boldly caress one of his pectorals, sliding my hand over his nipple and feeling it. Sure enough, it feels like a rock. My fingers flick over it, and I'm surprised. Wow, that's different. The breath hisses from his throat at my touch. Encouraged, I keep rubbing my thumb over his nipple. Even though it's already hard, I can tell he's enjoying my touch. He caresses my breast a moment longer, and then his mouth dips toward mine. I meet it, even though I tell myself that kissing him is not smart, that it's going to lead to nothing but false expectations. I can't help myself, though. The moment that velvety skin brushes against mine and his lips meet my lips, I'm a goner. I kiss him back, reveling in the feel of his hard mouth. He licks at my tongue, even as his hand caresses my breast and I push against him. My arms twine around his neck, and I pull him down against me, feeling his big, heavy chest against my breasts. The ridges along his skin, rough, hard patches on his arms and the center of his chest, feel odd mixed in with the plush suede of the rest of his skin, but when I rub my nipples up against him, the dichotomy feels incredible. I moan again, lost in the sensation. His cock prods my abdomen, and I feel the hot beads of pre-cum drag against my skin, leaving wet trails. He continues to kiss me, his tongue dancing against mine, and his hand moves down my side and rests on my hip.
If it is not a nipple, then what is it?
I chuckle against his mouth, amused by his alien lack of understanding about female anatomy. Really, I suppose it does make sense to think it's a nipple. It's called a clitoris, or a clit for short. His hand slides to my pubic hair and he drags his fingers through it before finding my clit again. He brushes the tips of his fingers over it in a careful exploration that makes me grip him against me hard.
And what purpose does it serve?
It, just feels good. I don't know if the clit has any sort of anatomical purpose. It's not like a kidney or anything. My breath explodes when he circles it with his finger again. Oh, God. Really, really good.
So you like it when I touch it?
I cry out and my fingernails dig into his skin when he continues the indolent, aggravating circles around the small patch of sensitive skin. I lift one leg and wrap it around his hips and my pelvis bucks against his touch. God, yes. Please.
Will you say my name, Liz?
He presses light kisses to my mouth, even as he continues to touch my clit in maddeningly slow, grazing motions. I lick my lips, whimpering with his touches. Why?
Because I want to hear my mate say my name when she comes for me,
he murmurs and nips at my chin. Another whimper escapes my throat. How? God, it's getting hard to think. I just want to grab his hand, shove his big fingers inside me, and ride until I'm coming like a madwoman. How do you know I'm about to come?
Are you not?
His teeth graze my chin, and then he begins to lick down my neck.
Shall I drink your sweet nectar from the source until you do?
Oh, God, I moan. My fingernails dig into his shoulders. His filthy, weird words are going to make me come like crazy. I'm so close as it is. Rosh, I need a finger inside me. Fuck me with your hand. He groans against my throat and his tongue flicks against the cords of my neck.
Say my name again, and I shall give you whatever you want.
Rosh, I cry, and one big finger brushes against my core again. This time, when I arch against him, it sinks deep. I bellow his name again, and my cootie gives a long, hard shiver of delight in my chest. Just like that. Oh, God.
Say it again,
he demands, and thrusts into me with his finger. I buck against it, clinging to him. Rosh! Rosh! My cootie purrs so loud I feel as if it's drowning me out, and then when he thrusts again, his thumb grazes my clit. My body explodes, and I repeat his name with a keening cry as I come. The breath hisses from him as he continues to pump into me with his finger over and over again.
I feel that,
he says, voice soft with wonder.
I feel you clenching against my fingers.
A hot blush heats my cheeks, and I push at his hand since I'm starting to feel oversensitized. He ignores my attempts to brush him away and keeps thrusting into me, a fascinated look on his face.
My mate,
he says reverently.
My Liz.
Oh, dear. I have a feeling if I don't distract him away from his shiny new toy, I'm not getting out of this without him claiming me for real. Of course, the thought sends another shiver through my body and my thighs clench around his hand, which doesn't help. His cootie purrs even louder in his chest, and both of them sound like a cacophony in my ears.
Let me taste you,
he says, and begins to move down my body. Wait, wait, wait. I'm not ready for that again. Not with my legs still quivering like noodles. Actually, I say, latching onto an idea. I slide a hand down his big arm and then move boldly to his front and cup that big, enormous cock. It's my turn to play with you. That's how humans court. He looks up at me and frowns.
This is courting.
In some circles it is, I tell him and wriggle away from his grip. His finger slides out of me, and for a moment I feel so empty I want to flop right back onto my back and let him fuck me. That's probably just the cootie talking, though, and I'm determined not to be ruled by it, so I slide my hand up and down his cock to get his attention. It does the trick. The breath hisses from him, and his hand covers mine.
Wait.
It's okay, I tell him, releasing my squeezing hold on his cock a little. Have you not had sex in a while? That's a legit concern, considering there are 4 women in the tribe and 2 have babies. We can go slow. His jaw clenches and he looks away from me, removing my hand. A really, really long time?
Does it matter?
He growls. Oh, boy. I have myself a bona fide alien virgin. I regard him for a long moment, and then my heart squeezes with sympathy. No wonder he thinks he's ugly. If no one in his tribe has ever touched him, he has to think it's because of how he looks. A tribe with only 4 women would mean those ladies have their pick of men. Until they get cootie mated, of course. I guess Rahash has never had that sort of experience. Poor guy. Never to have a loving touch, a caress, fooling around just for fun? He's missed out on so much. I feel like a bit of a dick suddenly for constantly pushing him away. I'm probably the culmination of a bajillion dreams for him, and for me to turn him away has to hurt. I'm starting to get an idea of how lonely his life has been, and what I must mean to him. Suddenly, I want to make this good for him. It's no longer about distracting Rahash so he'll stop teasing me. It's about making some heavy petting fun for him, too, so he can see that he's sexy and desirable and someone wants him after all. Do you trust me? I ask him, placing my hand flat on his chest over his heart. It's a safe spot, for all that it's rough and ridged there like the skin over his brows. He hesitates for a moment and then nods, his jaw clenched. Then lay back, I say in a soft voice, and let your mate pleasure you a little. It's all part of the human rituals of mating. For a long moment he tenses, and I think he's going to refuse me. Then he turns and flings himself onto his back in the furs, his cock jutting into the air. He props up on his elbows so he can watch me, his eyes glimmering slits of intensity. I'll need to go slow to make this last a bit. I rack my brain, trying to think of ways to extend an orgasm for a guy that's inexperienced. I'll just have to play it by ear. He'll get embarrassed if he blows his wad too quickly and blame himself, and I don't want that to happen. So I put my hands on his thighs and wait. Is this okay? He watches me with a hot gaze and, after a long, tense moment, nods. Can I explore you? His cock twitches and more pre-cum beads on the head. As I watch, he grits his teeth and nods again. Maybe I'd better take the edge off first. So I slide forward, pushing my arms against my sides so my breasts, while not impressive, push together. I'm going to make you come, I tell him, dragging my nails down one thigh lightly. And then I'm going to take my time with you, all right?
Do what you must.
There's tension in his words. Poor thing. He's probably about to blow and feeling a bit awkward about it. My cootie continues purring like a mad thing, and his rumbles even louder when I lean forward. I grip his length in my hand, and my fingers don't quite meet. That's interesting. He's also hard and ridged along the top, and my thighs clench together again at the realization. He's not circumcised, and I grip him by his foreskin, and then drag it over his cock as I pump him once. He gasps, and then hot semen spatters over my hand, erupting from the big head of his cock. His body jerks, and I place my hand flat on his thigh again. It's okay, I tell him. And then when he's gazing down at me, I lean in and lick the head of his cock clean of semen. I've never been a big fan of the taste of cum. There's a bleachy sort of taste to it that I just can't get used to. But with the cootie adjusting my senses, there's no hard flavor to him, only a mild sort of musky taste that is actually quite nice. It's a pleasure to lap at him and clean his cock, and his muffled groans and hisses of breath are making me feel pretty good, too. When I'm done tonguing him clean, I look up and give his cockhead another swipe with the tip of my tongue. Can I play with you now? His nostrils flare, and he inhales sharply, then nods. If you come again, I warn him, it's all right. But I'll try and be gentle with you. I give him a wink as the look on his face turns incredulous. Then I drag my fingers up and down his thighs, exploring the ways he's different than me. I'm your average girl. Average height, average weight, average boobs. Rahash, in comparison, is over 7 feet of slate gray muscle. There are ridged plates on the sides of his big thighs, a line of ridges that goes all the way down his chest to where a happy trail would be if he had hair on his groin, and ridges on his arms and shoulders. I suspect if I ran my hand down the small of his back, his spine would be ridged, too. Of course, I have more interesting things to look at, like his junk.